Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
I know he's a really good 3-and-D player. I know he didn't lead the NBA in like 3-point percentage last year, so, you know, it's another dude to bring. You know, come in here and try to help this thing get back to where it's supposed to be. And, you know, we're going to open them with, you know, we're welcome with open arms.
Everybody just got to step up, and I think our team handled the guys that played. I think they played well, and, I mean, we just got to adjust.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That you heard there, the voices of Zach LaVine. He's telling the truth all over the place. And
he didn't
Laurie
have
Marketing.
To worry about the trade becoming official.
And let's get out. Yeah, no, he's paid already. Let's get out to Gret Paulsen. He's with 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., their fine midday host. Grant, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Grant.
Fellas, morning. How are you guys?
So how do you sell this trade? Is this a happy day for you on your show, or are you lamenting that Otto Porter Jr. is gone? Are you looking forward to seeing how quickly Jabari can be cut, or will you be getting it? Remember, Joakim Noah once nicknamed Bobby Portis Crazy Eyes, and that's a fun thing to look for.
If you just take this one trade, the Wizards made a pair of them, and there's some other Wizards news this morning here in D.C., but if you just take this trade in a vacuum, people are very happy about it. The Wizards got out of what was a really terrible contract that saddled them, and they've got several really bad contracts because Ernie Grunfeld is still their general manager, and he likes to paint himself into a corner and then pole vault out of the corner. And he did that again with this contract. The problem is that, you know, Wizards fans have for a while here in Washington, D.C., been begging the team to stop, let's say, eating fast food. You got to stop eating fast food. And so the Wizards pulled out of the drive-thru and said, okay, we'll go eat something else. And everyone cheered, but they just pulled into another fast food restaurant. It doesn't look like they're actually tanking. They're going to rebuild. They don't want to do that. They're 10 games under 500, and they're not trying to lose. That's almost impossible to do. They're trying desperately to make the playoffs as an 8 seed so they can get engulfed in the first round of the postseason. They just won't admit what they are. So there's a lot of frustration in D.C. today that they're not actually going to reboot like they need to. But specific to this trade, you got two expiring contracts. Assuming they let both of these guys walk, which I don't know that that's a guarantee. Again, you never know with Ernie Grunfeld. They got out of a deal. They got under the luxury tax threshold, and they created well over $20 million in space next season for their salary.
So if they pulled out of the drive-through, what kind of basketball food group does Otto Porter Jr. fall into? Is this going to be something that's bad for the Bulls' health or good overall? What kind of player is he?
Well, the contract is not good. He's overpaid substantially. I mean, who in the NBA isn't? But even by those standards, he gets paid too much money. He got a max contract as a player who just shouldn't have one, frankly. The problem with Otto Porter, and he's a really nice piece. I've always said, dating back to when he was drafted third overall locally here out of Georgetown, we knew a lot about him coming out of the Big East because they play their home games at the same arena the Wizards do in the nation's capital, that he is a great extra guy, like a sixth man for the San Antonio Spurs, or I would even say on a second division team like Chicago or Washington's become this year. So he is a starter who can log you 30 plus minutes and be a really nice piece that helps get you back to contention. He plays wonderful defense, both from a collective standpoint and in isolation on the wing. He's long. He gives you a ton of effort on that side of the ball, and he can knock down open jumpers, but he does not create his own shot, which you need to do in the NBA now. He's not going to ever take anybody off the dribble. I mean, the number of guys who have max contracts who have never attempted more than 20 shots in a game, just as a kind of arbitrary stat, is so minuscule. You don't pay guys that can't get their own offense or that, you know, don't demand the basketball that kind of money. So he's a nice player. If there was no money attached to him, I would tell you this is a wonderful asset. The problem is the Wizards matched the offer sheet that the Nets signed him to for over $100 million. And it really did lock them into, at that point, what they called their big three, with John Wall, who right now has a ruptured Achilles and is going to miss over a calendar year, Bradley Beal, who's going to make an all-star team for the second straight year, and he's tremendous, and Otto Porter. There's no big three that involves him. He should be kind of your fifth option or sixth option when you are San Antonio or Golden State, and the Wizards tried to make him, you know, one of their top sellers and a dude they're putting on posters.
It's interesting because obviously if Wall doesn't have the injury, maybe even if he doesn't have the second injury, I wonder if they make this move. I wonder if are they thinking they can get Durant? Are they thinking they can get in the conversation? I mean, sell him on coming home?
They tried that once. It failed miserably. They didn't even get a meeting with him. In fact, they ended up basically planning so much around that they had so much money allocated that offseason to spending in free agency for him that they just had to give out money. And so they gave it out to three guys who, two of whom are no longer on the team, and one is, you know, a $15 million bench player who generally has more fouls than minutes night in and night out in Jan Mahimi. I don't think Kevin Durant's going to look around the landscape of the association and say, that's what I want to opt into. But they probably do think that, to be honest with you. They thought that before. And every offseason, they think that they're very close. To answer your first question, though, there's no doubt in my mind. If John Wall did not rupture his Achilles falling at home at the end of January, and he was just out for the remainder of this year with his previous injury, a heel surgery, and he wasn't going to be out all of next year, they absolutely would not have traded Otto Porter. They would have kept the band together, and they would have gone back to the well next year. They blame this season on the fact that Markieff Morris, who they just traded last night to New Orleans Pelicans, was hurt, that Dwight Howard, who they brought in to be their center, it was hurt, and the fact that John Wall hasn't been available, even though they have a better record without John Wall than they did with him, as he was playing his way back into shape and showing up a little heavier than normal early part of this season. It's funny, there's a lot going well in D.C. sports, and people are generally very optimistic. The Capitals, having just won a cup, kind of taking a lot of the venom away. The Nationals, perennially a contender. But there is just a vitriol and even an apathy for the Wizards that's several years in the making, largely because no one really trusts a general manager that's been in place since 2004, whose approval rating is one of the lowest of any executive in sports.
Boy, does that sound familiar here in Chicago. Talking with Grant Paulson from 106.7, The Fan in Washington, D.C. So, Grant, when you look at this trade and Otto Porter Jr., who's been described as sort of a passive player, not a guy who looks for a shot, maybe that's on the court, off the court, what's he like to deal with, and what kind of personality will he bring to the Bulls?
So he is exceptionally pleasant. I mean, he is just a very nice guy. One of the things that made him work in Washington was how unassuming he was. This locker room's been a mess, fellas, for the last few years. There was kind of a battle for the alpha role between John Wall, who's on a supermax contract, and Bradley Beal, who's on a max contract. You know, who's going to be the guy in the locker room? Those two guys butt heads pretty regularly. And when they're losing, it's a problem. And then when they're winning with their buddies. But they've had, whether it's, you know, Markieff Morris or Marcin Gortat, these huge personalities all over their locker room, many of whom regularly would say crazy things and it would get picked up in the media and it would become a distraction. Otto Porter was the antithesis of all of that. He is a show up and work, speak when spoken to, first-rate individual. Now, I will say from a media standpoint, he is equally as unassuming and fairly, I hate to say the word uninteresting, but he doesn't have a lot to say. There's not much personality to him. He's just a really, really nice guy, very quiet guy. And honestly, that's why he became a pertinent piece for the Wizards, because they felt like he didn't need the basketball when other guys were dominating it. He's a spot-up shooter. He was made better by John Wall's ability to penetrate and kick. And when John Wall's been hurt over the last year and change, he's kind of completely regressed because, again, they need someone to get him a shot. So if you got a guard who can, when the floor is spaced out, get guys open looks from outside, Otto Porter was leading the NBA at the All-Star break recently in three-point shooting and is the guy who finished third in the association at three-point shooting last season. He can knock down some Jays. He shot over 40% each of the last two seasons.
Are they under the luxury tax? Are they done? Is there a chance they make another big move here before the deadline at 2 o'clock, Chicago time, 3
so they
o'clock?
Are under the luxury tax, so that's a really good thing, obviously. I do think they're done. There's actually reporting in D.C. by one of the Wizards beat guys today that he's talked to someone high-ranking who says that they're not going to make any more trades. And that's kind of the rub here, if you will. I mean, fans were elated with this deal because they thought that, again, we're pulling out of this drive-through lane. We're actually going to go try a salad for once and kind of take our vitamins here. that doesn't seem like the plan. I mean, there's talk that the Wizards may extend Portis, that they really like his game. That's not why you should have made this trade, to be honest with you. There's more talk, and I think I actually really buy this, that they want to use the money they've just created to re-sign their backup point guard, Thomas Satoransky, and to maybe keep Jeff Green or Trevor Ariza around, who are long-in-the-tooth aging veterans. That shouldn't be part of their plan. That they desperately need, whether they want to use the word tank or not, which owner Ted Leontis won't use, they can use whatever diction they want to. They need to look in the mirror and admit that they're fat and not put a black t-shirt on and keep saying, I don't look that bad, I'll try this tonight. And they just won't do it. So I don't think they're going to trade anybody else, even though they should trade Jeff Green and they should trade everyone on this roster other than Bradley Beal. But they are under the luxury tax, and I guess that's a baby step in some way.
Before we let you go, Grant, I have to ask you about Bryce Harper and the Nationals. Any chance of that revived hope in D.C.? Is he gone?
There is chances still, I think, non-zero, that he's going to be back. I would still say they are far from the favorite. The Philadelphia Phillies has kind of been my thought all along as his eventual destination. As you guys know, he met with the San Francisco Giants Monday. I was told in Vegas their GM, their owner, their manager were all involved. I saw the report yesterday. There are 9 teams in the mix. I don't really buy that. There might be 9 teams calling, but there are not 9 teams with a viable option to land him. I don't think he'll be in Washington. They're just too well-built in their outfield to spend the money that it might take to match another team's offer. I mean, they've got a left fielder who last year was second in Rookie of the Year balloting in Juan Soto. They've got a center fielder in Victor Robles, who's considered one of the 5 best prospects in the sport and has spent a lot of time at Double and Triple A, who's ready for the big leagues, and a right fielder in Adam Eaton on a team-friendly contract, who's a really strong defensive player and a good catalyst at the top of the order. Michael Taylor started a ton for them in center, and he's now their 4th outfielder. And that's sans Bryce Harper. You're 4 deep. So I just don't think they need him enough to pay him over $300 million. If for some reason he can't get the money that he probably should get and deserves, and he crawls back to them and says, hey, I will play for $300 million that you offered me at the beginning of the offseason. I can't get more than that. That's the one way I could see this kind of working out for Washington.
Great stuff. Thanks, Grant. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Grant.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
That is Grant Paulson from 106.7 The Fan in D.C. Their
Boston leader in Drake.
And, Adam Eaton, he'll be getting this straight. You don't need Harper because you got Adam Eaton. Just double check it. The Scores NBA trade deadline coverage is sponsored by Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. Visit amywillsellyourhome.com. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.